Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And we coming from our basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the sir, cause I'm chilling in the background.
Welcome back to an all-star episode of the podcast, Theanos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined by the fan-voted starter, Eric Wayne. Eric, how's it going?
I'm terrific, but we all know that I'm not that popular. I'm not even close to that popular.
Yeah, it's a good thing we didn't put it to a vote between you and Emily, because quite frankly, I have a feeling that she probably would have gotten the vote.
I could partner with all of the National League teams and still not get voted in before Emily.
How do you feel about that? It's kind of an interesting, like, new phenomenon. I'm not quite so sure how to feel. I like that we didn't get on board with the Yankees, because that would just have been disgusting. But
I was going to bring that up, but it was a solid shutdown.
Yeah, we weren't. The problem is we weren't the first to make it. Somebody else had shut them down prior. I want to say maybe the Twins or something.
Yeah.
So pause. You know, you got to get your decline in there earlier. So we look like we're the funny ones.
Anything after Bran Torino is all over. The Brandonage Victor Reno, what's his first name? Shane Victorino. Anything after that is done. Didn't we vote in Victor one year? We tried to vote in Victor one year. There was some cute appeal with Victor's kid. You remember that?
I do. I don't really like that. I feel like when that's going on, all I see is hashtag vote for this guy I don't care about, just over and over and over again.
You know, it's just another way to extract money, to extract eyeballs and therefore sponsorship money from insurance or, you know, whatever the sponsor is.
Well, this one just took a very cynical turn. All right, let's get back. That's not what this show usually does. So we have two Tigers that are all-stars, Justin Upton, Michael Fulmer. Obviously, Fulmer is well all-star worthy. Were you a little surprised that Justin got the call?
A little, but he was only added after what? Somebody was hurt or something. Did he take Fulmer's spot?
No, I think
how did that work?
Maybe took Mookie Betts' spot. No, Mookie's still there. No, it was an outfielder. Oh, it's Mike Trout. Very similar players.
Right. Is it kind of funky that Fulmer is voted in and goes, but there's zero chance he'll pitch?
Yeah, he actually was replaced, I think, by Brandon Kinsler, maybe, of the Twins. I like that Upton's going to be there, so we have, like, one active body in uniform there. So it's not just completely shut out, but...
Yeah, that's how it was for years. Is that still the rule that every team gets somebody?
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. See, everybody besmirches baseball. Just take the best players. No. You know, baseball's a little bit of a regional sport. If I'm watching the All-Star game, I want to see my guy in my uniform at least walk up along the line and be recognized so I see my uniform.
Are you bummed that Fulmer's not going to take the hill? Just out of curiosity?
No.
I'm not really, because I 100% sure will not be watching. So tonight, as we're recording this, the Home Run Derby is going on. I'm sure Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton are captivating the nation, and you know Chris Berman, fortunately, is no longer making your ears bleed.
Thank goodness.
But are you a Home Run Derby guy?
I mean, I'll watch it if I'm available and it's on. Yeah, I'll tune in, just basically for Twitter antics as much as the actual broadcast.
I think it's too long, and we'll get to that this in a second. Yeah. I just don't understand how we can have like 76 rounds of people getting 10 outs. Like, first of all, dude's got to get tired, but I get tired of watching them hit the ball that far. Like, a home run is one of the most visually appealing things in all the sports, and you get to the point where like, eh, hit another one out.
Evidently, they revised the format to abbreviate it some. So I haven't seen it in a couple of years, to be honest.
Speaking of abbreviating, what are some of I asked you to come up with some fun adjustments to the Home Run Derby. Did you have any success there?
Did you read Grant Brisby's article?
No.
Grant Brisby wrote a whole article about this, and his blog is McCovey Chronicles, which is a stupid name since his blog should be called Ultimate Brisby.
Oh,
but
nice.
Wouldn't that be good?
Have you tweeted that to him?
Yeah, he seemed not as impressed as I was with my own intellect and
maybe
wittiness.
Maybe he's not as smart as us and doesn't get it?
Yeah, maybe I should tweet him a few more times and explain it to him, lay it out for him. No. So he had a lot of good ideas. His ideas, and I'll go quickly, his ideas were dunk tanks.
Oh, I like it.
Casual wagers.
Ooh, I really like that.
Hitters hitting with their opposite hand.
Eh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Old timers.
There we go.
Frank Thomas.
Oh.
You know, that kind of caliber he was thinking.
I like that.
150-pound middle infielders instead of sluggers.
Only Marco Scudero.
Right.
Yeah.
His fourth best idea was use pitching machines cranked up to ludicrous speeds.
Or sliders.
Oh, yeah. His third best was pitchers instead of position players, which I actually like.
Verlander would love that.
Oh, it would be Bumgarner and Adam Wainwright and Giovanni Gallardo and all those guys.
Who's the guy that just hit like the 500-foot bomb in Colorado? Was it John Gray, maybe? This week, he just absolutely mashed one. Anyway, keep going.
I believe.
Sidebar.
Instead of the most home runs, you simply go for who hit the furthest one. Not bad.
No.
And they get only knuckleballs.
Oh.
Was his favorite.
So R.A. Dickey and Stephen Wright up there chucking to him?
I guess. So my thoughts were, these are all pretty good ones. Good job, Grant Brisby. You can read his article. We're just going for huge home runs, right? I want aluminum bats and golf balls. You're pitching them golf balls and you're hitting them with an aluminum bat. How massive wouldn't that be? They could hit them way out. How far do you think you could hit one?
To the moon.
Way out. Yeah. You don't even need to use the regulation golf ball. Use the super juiced ones.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could use the balls that you hit into the lake, the floater ones from the driving range. That'd work too.
And, you know, what's the problem with my other thought was, what's the problem? The biggest problem with the home run derby is guys taking pitches that aren't very good, right? Mm-hmm. So put the ball on a tee.
Oh.
Put the ball on a tee. It's perfect to sit right there. Try to hit a home run. It's right on a tee. You know, there's no pitching. You get right to it.
I like it. I had some ideas. I think the biggest way to make it more fun is maybe just not have it at all. I kid.
Oh, you're such a part.
I kid a little bit, but not really. More Pitbull. I know Pitbull was doing some stuff tonight. Obviously, more Pitbull is always better. I came up with a different, and this might be what they're using. Stop saying Dale. We're moving on.
Dale.
Two rounds if you're starting with four hitters, or one round if you start with eight hitters. I just can't take 4 hours of home run hitting. And here's my best one. I like this one. Golden retrievers chasing down the outs instead of the children.
Yeah. Dale.
All right. Brings us to this week's leadoff question. If you could make someone from past or present Major League Baseball compete in the Home Run Derby, who would you like to see?
To me, there's only one choice, and that is Barry Bonds. What? You're not agreeing? Who do you want?
Well, I came up
Inge
with
– Inge again? Give Inge another try?
First,
so you can
of all,
get one?
That would be fun. I would enjoy that. I thought Mark –
What's the show where they have the internet redemption, the web redemption?
5.0.
Yeah, we could have that with Inge and call it the Home Run Derby Redemption, so you can try again.
That actually is really good. That. I want Marcus Timms. He had some country strength. I was thinking, what about the Japanese Babe Ruth, that Shohei Ohtani? You know what I'm talking about? The guy who pitches and hits massive bombs.
The young guy?
Yeah.
The super young guy? Yeah.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
He's going to come over. He'll probably be a Tiger.
Speaking of Japanese guys, you know, it was always this myth that Ichiro was a slap hitter because he kind of decided to be, but he could hit home runs whenever he wanted to. It'd be cool to put him in the Home Run Derby. Yes. Like, okay, Ichiro, can you hit home runs or not? Do it.
I refuse to believe that that's not true. I love the like myth and the yep. lore of Ichiro. I don't care if it's not true. I'm not going to believe it.
Yeah. He could have hit 40 bombs a year if that's what he wanted to focus on. I don't know.
He should have just one year. Hit like 240, go all Chris Davis and hit 60 home runs.
That'd and then go back.
Yeah, yep. then go back just to prove you can. And my last one would be, I want to see somebody kind of like classic, maybe one of the real sluggers, Joe DiMaggio. And I don't know if you know this, but he dunks his donuts.
What is that? What are you talking? What is that from?
It's a Seinfeld reference.
Oh, good job.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. The show is at Comeric Eric, and the show – no, Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. No website anymore. Don't go to the website. It has been shut down. So
you don't need that.
So that's that. There are other places.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
No. On the Instagram, I am at Jordinio4, and Eric once again is at Comeric Eric. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Janos.
Eric, we've reached the ceremonial halfway point in the Tiger season. We're 87 games in, but it's the All-Star break. It feels like about as good a time as any to take a step back, take a deep breath, and reflect on the first part of the season. And try and make some flip a coin, heads or tails of it. Mostly tails. We currently sit at 39-48, 8 games back of the Indians in the Central, 6.5 back of the Rays and the Yanks in the wild card spot. We are also 1 game out of, if you will, last place in the American League. I feel like you and I came into the season with a crap ton of guarded optimism. Is that a fair assessment? How did we get here?
Yeah, we thought that they could contend for one of the wild card spots. We didn't think they were going to win the division. The Indians looked really strong. But we said, no, if this team plays up to their potential, even it's not a big stretch for them to snag one of those playoff spots. That seems like a pipe dream now. That's well out of hand. I mean, that's we're toast.
Feels like a lifetime ago, really.
Yeah, we are toast. What went wrong? Right? What went wrong? And I looked out some breakdowns. We are 15th in Major League Baseball in OPS. So our hitting is dead average in rankings. And for our lineup, that is simply not acceptable. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep, absolutely.
They did lead the AL Central for a while in runs scored, but that says more about the AL Central. And it says, and we've come back from that sense. So we're average, league average in hitting. Okay. We are 26th in team ERA.
That's not good.
That's what, fourth from last, right?
Yes.
The starters ERA is 22nd in baseball, and the bullpen ERA is second to last, second only to the Nationals, in the worst bullpen in all of baseball.
Additionally to that, we have only 2 regularly used relievers that strike out more than a batter an inning. That's hard to work with.
Yeah. Our bullpen has been straight trash.
Straight trash.
Our defensive efficiency, which is the measure of simply a measure of how often are you turning balls in play into outs, we are 25th in the all of baseball in defensive efficiency. So we have a combination of average offense, piss poor pitching, and poor defense. that's why we suck.
That's pretty comprehensive. Yeah.
We really suck. I didn't break down base running, but I'm guessing we're not awesome at that either.
That'll be on next week's show. Yeah. Definitely tune in for that one. A few extra stats. We are 17-24 against teams below 500. That's not ideal. Those might be the teams that you want to beat. I actually looked it up. We're 20-16 against AL Central teams. I was a little surprised by that. We haven't done terrible in the division, but we're 1-6 against Seattle and 2-5 against Tampa. I'm assuming some sort of like hoodoo against the turquoise teams. Is that what I'm getting from this?
It's our kryptonite. Those games in Seattle, like what was it, a month ago? That was the tipping point. When we got swept in Seattle, it was just like, oh, this is rough. And that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah, definitely. So I have one stat for you. Since May 3rd, we've won consecutive games 5 times.
That's just bad. No consistency. It's just really ugly.
Yeah, and I think a little bit of that has to do with the DL stints. I feel like we haven't had a ton of injuries, but what we've had has been spaced out just enough so we really haven't been at full strength for much of the season. But recently we have been, and it's not like things have gotten drastically better.
Right. Now, do you buy the thought that if JD was there to start the year and performed like he is now, and we get an extra 30-35 games out of JD Martinez, that changes the complexion of the season enough where, you know, they're more hopeful, it goes better, and that changes the whole season? Would you buy that theory?
I don't buy into that. We got off to a 6-2 start. I think we got off to like an 8-4 start. I mean, not that those are like, you know, burning the world down starts, but it's not like we started off on a tough run of games. We came out of the gate hot. And, you know, maybe we wouldn't have lost the momentum so quickly if he was in the heart of the lineup doing more damage. But, no, I think you can make an argument there, but I think it's a little bit more wishful thinking and maybe a little bit on the revisionist side.
I'm with you completely. Like, okay, so we're 15th in the league in hitting. Okay, so imagine we go from 15th to 8th. Or 7th. I don't think JD gets you there, but let's imagine. You still got the 26th best pitching staff. It's all about the pitching.
Yeah, and it's just been so bad. Like, there's no getting around. You know, we came into the season with 5 guys who we thought can give us a quality start most nights. Like, you can go, you know, turn the rotation over, and you're not going to lose much. And it's just been such an unmitigated disaster. I mean, even other than Fulmer, even Verlander, like the guy that we were banking on. I'm sure, I don't know, maybe Guido predicted that he was going to win the Cy Young this year. Like, that wasn't an outrageous shout at the beginning of the season. And he's, you know, mid to upper 4 ERA and actually looking worse than that somehow.
Was it just last year he finished 2nd and for Cy Young? Just last year we had this big debate whether it was going to be him or Porcello, right? That wasn't like 3 years ago, was it?
No.
It was like last year.
It does feel like an absolute lifetime ago.
Insanity.
So here's some more numbers that are really bad. In 61 games played between Romine Collins and Jacoby Jones in center field, they hit .243, .203, and .140 respectively. Those are very, very poor numbers. But we do have some wins on the board. I do think we should talk about some of the positives. The big one I have written down is Michael Fulmer. 15 of 17 quality starts. Somehow, I mean, he had an incredible rookie year and somehow is going above and beyond that. It's amazing to see. And I know there's been kind of this, oh, should we trade him? Like, you know, scratching the chin. No, we probably shouldn't trade him. He is one of the best young pitchers in baseball. You tend to want to hang on to those guys.
Imagine even if we do a teardown, rebuild, whatever you want to call it. Having one fan favorite, one stalwart starter can buoy a club for a few years. if you burn it all the way to the ground, it's pretty harsh.
Yeah. I think I feel like there's been a lot of derision for the people kind of looking at that trade, specifically him for Schwarber, which that's not something that I'd be interested in. But you can make a purely baseball decision that makes sense that would be moving him. I wouldn't want to, but realistically, he could have blown out his arm with that delivery and the stress that he puts on his body by the time we're good again. And that's not something to be ignored.
I would sell Fulmer, but you better back up the Brinks truck.
Oh, yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like our buddy Delman's talking about in his walk-up music. You better back up the Brinks truck of prospects to get him. There better be some pain involved if you're getting Fulmer.
Yeah, and I don't have a prepared list of guys that I would want for him, but it would certainly start with a you know, a Moncada. I mean, obviously the White Sox wouldn't be somebody in that range, so one of the very tippy top guys.
Yep.
And you'd want several there. Do you think he's reached his ceiling? Is there a little bit more room to improve? He's so, like, not to generalize, but he looks kind of old, so you assume like dude's been around for 10 years and he's reached, but there is more in there, I think.
Well, how much, you're kind of greedy, Hall, aren't you? He's like one of the top five AL pitchers. But like if he keeps doing that, that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not taking anything away. I think that there's his feel for pitching is very good, but you know, he's going to learn what works and, you know, better combinations. And as Jim would say, use that change up a little bit more.
Yeah.
I do think that there is room for him to get even better. Though I will certainly take what he is a bona fide ace. You know, if there's 30, you know, 30 starting pitchers in baseball that make up the ace category, he is definitely one of the top 30.
Yeah. One thing that's been a little bit of troubling about his last couple starts is he's been great, great, great. But when he's when it's close to time for him to be done, when the wheels start falling off, they fall off fast. Like, and then it's time to like get him out of there.
But
he's done.
Just like we've talked about with Anibal for essentially the entirety of this show, you can manage that. Like you just have to know. You have to keep guys, you know, once you get to the seventh inning, on red alert until he's able to kind of work through that. Like that's not unreasonable. And I think as this pattern, hopefully it doesn't continue to develop, but if it does, I think Brad's smart enough, you know, even Brad, as I'm sure some of the people are thinking, even he should be able to figure that one out. Okay, let's move on. Some guys that have exceeded expectations. I just jotted down a few names. Anibal as a starter. Did not see this one coming. I believe it's four starts now. 3.09 ERA, 0.86 whip, 8.5 strikeouts per nine. All of your bad memories of Anibal from this year are of him in the bullpen. Clearly he's a guy who can't make the adjustment. He can't get himself ready to go in a short period of time. He needs that routine of the warm-up, you know, process.
Do a thought experiment with me just for fun. Remember when we all complimented the Tigers for making the tough decision and starting Boyd, who was so good in spring training, and putting Anibal in the bullpen? What if the decision was different? What if Anibal would have started and he pitched good, and you erase some of Boyd's bad starts to start the year because he had some.
And I think if you're doing that, Norris probably would have been sent down by now to have given Boyd a chance to come in. And, you know, some of Boyd's first starts were pretty decent.
Yeah.
You know, things, you know, you can spiral it all you want. But
yeah, I want
to
a little.
It's not a bad road to. I mean, clearly we can't go back down that road, but it's not. It's a very interesting thought experiment. Yeah,
right. In retrospect, they made the wrong call.
Yeah,
even though that was the conventional wisdom on the internet, and everybody was saying, "Oh yeah, this is a new leaf of good decision making," it wasn't a good decision.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that even though we think that we know everything as fans and Twitter.com users, there are things that at times we do get wrong, and that Al Avila occasionally, you know. So let's see. Alex Avila has been incredible. Should have been an all-star. Statistically, according to ESPN Fantasy Baseball, the fifth best catcher in baseball, offensively, because that was an easy thing to look up today. He's been really good. I feel like I have so many words to take back about what I thought in my head about his return.
He was a steal. He's good value. He's excellent.
And we're going to trade him, and then we're going to re-sign him in the offseason.
Because that would be fun, wouldn't it? Get some good prospect for him to sign him back again.
I feel like people always think like that. It never happens. I feel like this time it could.
It could, because he's Ale's kid. Makes sense. exceeded expectations. Upton. I mean, met or probably exceeded. He's an all-star this year. He's hit with power. You expected a lot from Upton, but no streakiness, no swoons like we thought maybe. Upton's been good. JD, in his time that he's been here, he's been healthy, has exceeded expectations, I think. And he's had he had pretty high expectations.
And somehow we're still I feel like the trade value on him has somehow gone down despite that being the case. Which, Marcus forces. I don't think it's anything he did, but.
And we don't need to talk about him much, much more than we already have, but Fulmer. I mean, I think Fulmer has exceeded expectations, or at least met expectations. And there were big expectations off his rookie year, but you could have said, oh man, he had a big year. He's fatigued. Can he do it again? And he's been good.
I have one more. The axe wielder, whoever is the one in the Tigers organization that says, all right, your time is done. I'm assuming it's Avila with some help from Osmus Pelfrey, K-Rod, Lowe, and not wielding the axe on Anibal. Those were not easy decisions. Those were, large money-making men, specifically Pelfrey. And for the most part, they've made the right call. Hasn't helped us. We still suck, but we could have sucked worse. Okay, quickly, guys falling short of expectations.
Cabrera, don't you have to say Cabrera? Now, he always has huge expectations, but he's been off. Kinsler? Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, this next one I hesitate to say because I think he's league average, and that is Nick Castellanos. But we had, after our first podcast, we talked about Nick like he was the second coming of some huge slugger.
And all the indications were that he was.
You thought he was going to be like an MVP.
I don't recall that specific statement.
I do. I remember that. Top something MVP candidate. Jordan H. Hall said that.
Fortunately, it's not written down.
Oh.
It is. I'm just kidding.
If only there was some tape. You better hope they're not tapes.
So I was looking at all of our qualifiers are batting between 240 and 269 right now. That face says, yes, that is the face that I had when I saw that. I think you could make a strong case that pretty much everyone that we expected to carry the offensive load fall under the category of guys falling short of expectations, barring, aside from JD, who clearly isn't a qualifier. He'll get there, but he isn't yet. Bruce. I feel like Bruce is the one big arm that I had. I'm not going to say I had high expectations for him because there's the whole, he's let us down so many times in the past thing. But, I was expecting more than this, a lot more than this.
For me and Zimmerman, we were kind of hopeful for Zimmerman, but he hasn't been good.
No, he has not. The young starting pitchers. Go ahead.
Boyd, Norris, going there next. Yeah.
There are signs with Norris, and I'll get into him a little bit later. But man, I love him, and I'm not turning my back on him, but I would like to see more from him.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on. Do you have any more people?
No.
Okay. Memorable moments. This one took me a little while. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. This season has been piss poor, but there's not a lot of standout moments. What did you have?
Dixon's first home run, because obviously it was recent, and the silent treatment. That was kind of nice.
To me, the biggest memorable moment of this season was the K-Rod back-to-back meltdowns.
In Oakland, yep.
Yeah, if there was a turning point in our season, that was maybe one of them.
That's probably true. If JD were there to hit home runs to put it out of reach, maybe the season doesn't go pear-shaped.
K-Rod, have you followed the plummet of Francisco Rodriguez? They sent him down to double A.
He's going the wrong direction?
Yeah, they sent him. Yeah, I don't even know what organization
he's in. He's in the Nationals organization.
Yeah. Well, in the Nationals need it. They're the only bullpen worse than ours.
Yeah.
And so they pick him up. I think they had him in AAA for a little bit, and then they sent him down to double A. And guess who he was facing? Moya, Stephen Moya, who they had sent back to down to double A too. They were teammates on the Tigers last year, and now they're pitching each other in double A.
I thought you were going to say he came up against Joe Nathan, because that'd be a sick twisted irony. JD's return, going yard twice in his second game back against Oakland, the Angels, wherever they're from. Yeah. And then he hit the game winner in the ninth. And obviously the big highlight from the year, Johnny Cain in the hat and with Unicorn Guy.
Unicorn Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty sad, but Unicorn Guy is probably up there.
Yeah. That is, you know, they haven't given us many memorable moments on the field, so you got to take what you can get off the field. Also,
I guess.
Apparently, Johnny Cain switched up his hairstyle this past weekend, which, to be honest, I'm not a connoisseur of dudes' haircuts enough to have noticed a difference, but I got all kinds of tweets about it. Apparently, we're linked.
Well, everybody knows you as the Johnny Cain guy now.
Which is cool.
It's a little weird.
It is what it is, so I might as well embrace it. Okay, I asked you to come up with some hopes for the second half. I have five.
Yep.
I don't know how many you came up with, so we can...
I have four, so you go first.
Okay, I'll go first. I would like to see some extensive reps for Dixon, McCann, and possibly Jacoby Jones. You got to find out what's there. Like, we're not getting anything out of this season. If Dixon is a guy who can be a long-term shortstop, you know, we're not going to find that out unless he plays. Probably the same with McCann. I'm probably done with Jacoby, but I highly doubt that the Tigers organization is. So I think you got to get them out there and give them some runs, see what happens.
I still have hope for Jacoby. I like Jacoby.
He is an excellent defender, but I've yet to see anything at the plate that makes me think, oh, he's going to figure something out.
He's got fine bat speed. It's approach. I mean,
I don't know. I was going to say I'd rather him have the approach and not the bat speed, but that's clearly incorrect, too. I don't know. Yeah. I just wish he had both, because then he'd be decent.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hopes. Make the smart trades, right? I don't need them to move everybody and their brother, and I don't need to keep people just for the sake of stubbornness. Make the smart trades. Revive us with a few prospects. It's the smart thing to do. Make smart trades.
Interestingly enough, I have I hope we don't trade Verlander just to trade him. Like, if we get a reasonable package back, then that's one thing. I don't mind shedding salary, but not him.
They're not going to, you know, I'm jumping the gun here a little bit, but I can't see any way they move JV, just because teams aren't going to value him like the Tigers are going to value him yet. And he doesn't have a ton of money left, but teams just do not see him as a A1 ace anymore.
Yeah, he's definitely more valuable to us based on our history with him than he would be to any team. And
I think that's right.
Realize that, especially as fans.
And I'm okay with that. Don't pick up half his salary and trade him for some double A arm.
I mean,
if
we trade him to Chicago and get Eloy Jimenez back, by all means, like that's a franchise turning bat. But if we're getting, you know, their Cody Eaves, then, you know, maybe we don't.
You know, even if another team picked up all of his salary for an okay prospect, maybe you still make that deal. But I'm seeing rumors that, like, the Cubs are not interested in him at all because they don't see him as just a huge piece. And if you're wanting the Tigers to pick up half his salary and throwing in some bum, like, just keep him.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I think it's your turn.
Be entertaining. That is what I want. So Skitch, our buddy Skitch, tweeted out, is this team unlikable? And I got to thinking about it, and I was like, yeah, they're kind of unlikable. Even the mediocre teams, there was still Phil Koch and Al Albuquerque and Jose Valverde and guys with a little bit of personality who you wanted to be interested in and kind of cheer for. We're kind of grumpy and unlikable, aren't we?
Yeah, I think – I don't know about unlikable, but we're certainly undistinguished and unworthy. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like – when I think of this season and even just turning on a Tigers game, the main word that comes to my mind is meh. Like, I do it because, you know, I'm a trained dog, but I think meh. So,
yeah. Okay, so be more entertaining. That's what I want.
That would be good. I think that might be a little far-fetched, but that would be good. Right. Let's see. I estimated that there are roughly 15 turns through the rotation left. I would like to see Matt Boyd make 10 starts, and I would like Buck, Drew Verhagen, Warwick, and Miles Jay each to get at least a start, possibly two.
Man, you are pounding that Verhagen rock.
It's nobody's business. I mean, clearly Verhagen is better suited for the bullpen, but I don't necessarily think we're going to get that this year. So give me a start. Give me something. No, Drew's one of my favorite players, and I am sure – that if we gave him a full season of run out of the bullpen, he would end up as one of the more reliable and get you out of jam type pieces. He's a good pitcher. I don't care about his strikeout numbers. You don't necessarily need to strike out a ton of guys to be successful.
Hey, I'm not going to argue with you, but you kind of thought the same thing about Kyle Ryan.
That is true. And Kyle Ryan was really good down the stretch last year. Kyle Ryan was banished down there and has never been heard from again. Clearly, I don't follow the inner workings of the Mudhens. I don't know how he's done, but get him.
But
back
we haven't
up.
Had a sniff of Kyle Ryan,
and everyone's gotten a sniff since then. Yeah,
right.
It doesn't bode well. But anyway, 10 starts for Boyd. I feel like that's an absolute minimum. I don't know where they come from, but that has to happen. You gotta find out a little bit more about him.
Yeah. Okay. No injuries. Lots of rest for the old guys. That's what I would hope for. If the season's lost, you don't have to run Cabrera out there every day, you know.
Yeah, whatever. And limited innings for Fulmer too. I would think, which is sad because we want to see him pitch. He's probably one of the few great players we have left. Number four for me, tangible growth from my buddy Daniel Norris, specifically in spot hitting and mound demeanor.
Yeah, he's kind of a head case a little bit, isn't he?
Which
his emotions
seems so
get his best
crazy because he's such a chill dude, like on Instagram and on Facebook. But he is so, and you know, they all say it's because he cares too much, which is great. But the cause of you being not being able to control yourself doesn't matter. You still are not in control of yourself.
Yeah, he needs to not give a poop anymore about what he does.
Yeah, not give a poop emoji.
Yeah, my last one is I want to see some kind of breakout prospect with the team. Somebody. Is it Jimenez? Maybe it's Jimenez. Get him up here. Show me something. It's not Moya. We were so hoping for Moya. He's back down. The name that I have is Kristen Stewart. The slugger. He's in Double A Erie right now. He's got 19 bombs on the season. Maybe late in the season he can come up and just show me something. Show me some promise. Give me something to dream on, Kristen Stewart.
I don't know if it's the Moya effect, but ask me how much faith I have in him becoming a regular major league contributor.
I'm not buying it either.
I want to. I would very much like to see him become. It just we played this game for so long, and I'm sick of it. All right, my last one. Emerged from – and this one is a pipe dream. I'm aware. Emerged from 2017 with five guys, preferably under 25, that are clearly the core group, the future, definitely a part of the long-term plan. I feel like Nick and Fulmer are your guarantees. There's some maybes. You got Norris, Boyd, Joe Jimenez. Dixon, I think, could jump into that group if he plays well down the stretch.
Maybe.
Jacoby, meh. And I grouped Mikey and McCann in this, too. I think they're both 27, so it's in the same range. But it feels unlikely that we get to five rock solid from that group. But, you know, more playing time reveals things. We'll see.
It's a good hope.
Okay, so I have a few – before we get to who stays, who goes, I have a few bonus guys that I want to see us go after in the trade market. Number one, you know it. It's Lewis Brinson. I want him to patrol center field in Comerica so bad. So bad. I don't know who maybe JD. It's not going to happen. I'm aware. Twitter's told me many times. Eloy Jimenez mentioned him before. He would be nice to come back from the Cubs. Ryan McMahon from the Rockies, third baseman. You got Nolan Arenado there. He ain't never going to play. Move him along. I don't know what Colorado needs, but we do have a little bit of everything. We've been talking about the Rays kind of looking to add. I watched Jake Bowers. Have you heard of him? He's a
no.
first baseman. I think he's at Triple A right now. Dude can really hit. I was really impressed by him. Tampa Bay needs a little bit of everything too if they're trying to push for that wild card. I would love to see them get either Brinson or Bowers. Those are two kind of exciting guys that, we like you said, we need a prospect that we can really get pumped about. And not that the pitchers aren't great, because I love pitching, you love pitching, but there's something about a really exciting hitter that's just next level,
And it seems like all these teams are finding amazing hitters and they're coming up, whether it's Benintendi or it's Judge or all these. There's a lot of teams who have these guys bubbling up, and we have no bubbles. Now, we've popped all the bubbles in previous years and shipped them off. I mean, if we had Willy Adames or something like that, who we've traded away, Jake Thompson or whoever,
even Devin Travis,
we shipped all these guys off. If we had them now, we'd have a little more hope.
But. Gosh darn it, Dave. Okay, last thing in Tiger Talk section. Just gut feeling, do they stay or do they go? Rapid fire, are you ready?
Yep.
JD.
JD is going to go.
I agree. Justin Wilson.
He is going to go as well.
I think Justin Wilson might low-key bring back the most of anybody.
Yeah,
which is
I agree.
So odd considering JD is amazing. But
he won't bring his back as much as JD, but he'll bring back something.
It's just a little bit more on that deal. I think I think he could be just as valuable. Avila.
Yeah. Avila is the toughest one for me to say, and I'm going to say he goes because he's useful in so many ways. A team can platoon him. A team can give you can do a lot of stuff with Avila. He's got that on base percentage. I think he goes because people are going to want him.
I agree. Verlander, we kind of already discussed this.
No.
I think there's more of a chance than we're letting ourselves think, but I do still think he'll stay. Iglesias.
I think he stays.
I don't think anybody wants him. Kinsler.
I think he stays just because there's not a lot of teams looking for a second baseman. In a different market, maybe he goes, but I don't think he goes.
I agree with that. Shane Green?
I think he stays.
Daniel Norris, the big one. The Cubs are all hot for Daniel. Aren't we all, though? Let's be honest.
I think he stays just because I don't think they're going to get a haul for him at all.
No. I would be heated if we traded Norris.
Right.
Like, and last one, Anibal.
What are you talking about? We should want him. Miggy's not going. Fulmer is not going. I really don't think so.
There will be a riot if we trade Fulmer.
Right. Justin Upton is too tricky with his deal. He's not going anywhere. So we have, two and a half guys leaving. JD, Justin, and Avila. Is that what you say?
Yeah, that seems fair.
Okay.
So we'll put the over-under at 2.5.
I think that's right. Yep.
All right, are you ready to move on to Power Rankings?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Power rankings. I don't know if you saw it in the news the other day, but Amazon's the big internet company.
I'm familiar. Yeah.
They bought Whole Foods Market, which is a grocery store. And it got me to thinking about grocery stores and getting groceries, especially, you know, around the 4th of July when you're grilling. We talked about that last time. So I have for you today places to go and buy your groceries.
Okay.
All right. Starting at number 7 is Walmart. Walmart has a big selection. Their prices are good, but tell me the truth. You feel a little dirty going into Walmart and buying food from Walmart. It's not a very classy experience going to Walmart.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
All right. We're going to move up from there. It's not bad. I mean, it's affordable. Yeah, it's everything fine, but you know, the customer service is not so good, and it's just kind of bad experience.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seems fair.
Number 6 is I'm going to go with Gordon Food Service Marketplace. Do you ever been to the GFS Marketplace?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We got one at TC.
Yeah. They got big quantities of stuff, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to have a party or something, you're hitting up the GFS Marketplace. Get good deals.
They got the chicken tenders that you drop in the deep fryer. Oh, I love a chicken tender. Probably my favorite type of chicken.
It's good living. Number 5 is Target. Target I find unremarkable and not particularly cheap. I mean, it's a fine experience, but they don't have a big selection. Not a lot of people are getting their groceries, I feel like, at a super Target or whatever.
Here's the problem with Target. You cannot go into Target without your wife looking at clothes and everything else. I would rather arm off than go into Target for a reason other than being dragged by my ear.
You're walking out of there with a full cart of stuff. If you got your woman along.
No getting around it.
I can't believe I'm just besmirching all women with this, but I think a lot of women would agree Target is kind of seductive.
In 100% of the relationships on this podcast, that's the case.
Yes.
So I think you can extrapolate from yes. there.
It's the siren song of the Target crap. So much Target stuff. Don't go to Target. But it's not that way at other superstores. For my spouse?
No, anyway. It's like Target is cheap, but yet somehow still fancy.
Yeah, it's Target.
It's like a Pinterest dream.
Ugh. Number 4, that was number 5. Number 4 is like your local Spartan store. All right. For us, it's Family Fair.
Yeah, so we have two.
Do you really have Family Fair? D&W. In other parts of the nation, you might have Kroger or something like that. So this is like your local – it's a grocery store.
Now, do your Family Fairs have the bottle returns that when you – like as you walk in? So as soon as you walk into the store, you are accosted by the smell of that you can't get into the store without going through that?
Yeah, it's adjacent to the entry, yes.
That's my big complaint with Family Fairs.
Oh, but – Anyway. So these are nice. I mean, they look nice. They have big, you know, deli and the wine section is huge. They're nice. It's usually close because they're in neighborhood or suburban areas, but they're expensive. Like stuff there is really expensive.
Yeah, especially when you're used to Meijer or Walmart. Definitely.
Obviously, yeah. Number 3 is Aldi. You ever had the Aldi experience?
Yeah, we have an Aldi too.
It's good. It's cheap. And I like the no-nonsense approach. This is our system. It's a good system. And you're going to run through this line, and you better have your poop together.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it's almost intimidating how fast they are.
But I like that. I'm not there to talk to you. I'm there to buy my groceries and get out of there. Aldi's good for, canned stuff and just kind of, you know.
And produce. They have excellent produce.
Yeah. Do they?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I get my carrots and my celery from there every week.
All right. There you go. Aldi's good. Next, number two is Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's is kind of a whimsical experience. You feel fancy getting your groceries at Trader Joe's, but they have cool stuff and it's not that expensive, especially if you buy like particular things. Some things are expensive, but some things are really affordable. And Trader Joe's is just a nice experience for grocery shopping. That leaves us to number one. What do you got, Al?
Well, I know what it's not, and that is Meijer. So other than that, I have no guesses.
What? It is. It's Meijer.
Meijer is the worst.
Meijer is fine. Meijer is the perfect blend of affordable selection, and the little extra you pay to go to Meijer and not go to Walmart is worth it. But you don't need to be fancy and go to some other place. Meijer has everything you need. And then if you want to pick up some motor oil and some shoes and some toys, it's all right there too. Meijer is great.
Here's the problem I have with Meijer's. Meijer Meijer will let the lines go all the way back to the close and look at it and be like, whatever, they're in line. That won't feel any sort of guilt to open up more lanes. Meijer's business model is they're going to come anyway, so let's serve them as poorly as possible to save as much money as possible. So I'm almost positive that is straight from the business model at Meijer headquarters.
I think your particular Meijer is trash.
It's pretty much the only one I've ever been to, so I can't really comment on the rest of them.
Right. My Meijer is good. Like, I had a full cart, and I'm walking past these lines of checkouts, and there was a Meijer cashier standing at the end of her line, like looking out. Can I help you? I'm ready to help you.
I have just, never like, ready had to that go. Happen.
I had that just last time I was at Meijer. Now, I've told you this several times, and I'm going to bore you with this story again. I have my brother actually works at Meijer, and he told me the Meijer in Traverse City is the highest grossing Meijer store of any Meijer store that exists.
Because seven employees, and that's it.
Right. Maybe that's why they make so much money. But Meijer's fine.
Meijer's the worst.
Stop it. Okay. Worst three.
Tell your brother to hire someone.
I should. I'll get him on that. Number three, for the worst places to get groceries is the dollar store. Dollar store has a lot of groceries, and they're fairly cheap.
Hang on. Are we talking dollar store or Dollar General? Because those are two very different places.
Oh, stop it. What are you talking about?
Dollar General offers reasonably priced food that's still halfway decent.
Dollar General, Family Dollar, they're all the same. It's dollar store.
Not everything is a dollar in Dollar General. That's what makes it classier.
Okay. All right. It's your story. It's still third from the worst.
Fair enough.
Second from the worst is 7-Eleven / convenience store / gas station. The only thing it's good it's got going for it is it's open and you can find some stuff. But if you're buying groceries at a gas station, you screwed something up. Your life is not going good, right? There was a miscalculation somewhere in your week, and now you're at a gas station buying groceries. It's bad. And you just hope they have the thing that your wife sent you there for. Otherwise, you got to scavenge around every place else.
Yeah, milk from a gas station is always a classic.
Yeah. So you do what you got to do. The 7-Eleven. All right, number one, the worst place to get groceries.
I have no guess. You've taken Meijer, so I have nothing left.
It's Whole Foods. Whole Foods. I've been in a Whole Foods like one time. I like the premise, but it's all overdone. It's way too expensive. It's super pretentious, and I don't need that. Save your money. Just go to Meijer. You don't need to go to Whole Foods, okay? Nobody thinks you're particularly fancy. You should go to Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's is fine. Just do that instead. That's Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Just between you and me, I've actually never been inside a Whole Foods. I'd like to. I fancy myself pretty fancy. Well, maybe just the Illinois Whole Foods are overly pretentious.
When I was in there, it was all runners. They only allow runners in there. They check for your sticker in the parking lot. to see if you have anything over 10K, they let you in. The 5Kers, they don't let in. So you'd be good.
5K is weak. Yeah, speaking of running, perfect segue. You're a pro. So I had a really unsettling experience running this week. So I was running down the road. It's kind of a country road by our house, my normal route. And all of a sudden, I feel wind by my head. I turn around. It was a bird that dive bombed me. Like, it really? Was close enough to me to try and, like, swat it away. I turn around and look, and it's, like, up in the sky, like, keeping an eye on me as I'm going. Like, it's following me. It does it two more times to me. It dive bombed me a total of 3 times. I look, it's, like, legit chasing me. I'm, like, close enough to, like, try and swat at it. And, you know.
Now, to be fair, now that I look at you, your hair does look like some sort of rodent, you know, scampering by. Was this a bird of prey?
No, it was a – I don't know. Oh. It was a small bird. It wasn't a falcon or anything. I don't know if we have falcons native to northern Michigan. But, like, I don't know how much damage a bird can do. Specifically, you know, do they go for the jugular? Are they going to peck me to death? I don't know.
Did you have fear?
I didn't have fear. It was more of an unsettling thing. I probably turned in a pretty good mile, like, running from it, which doesn't speak – speaks super well of me, but it probably followed me for, I don't know, half mile. Like,
what? Like, but it was not a bird of prey. No, it was not an owl or a hawk. It was like a sparrow or something.
Yeah, it was like a regular run of the mill bird.
Songbird. It was still diseased.
It's still freaky. But no, I actually experienced it kind of the same thing the next day. Like, I went by the same tree and the bird was like yelling at me and stuff. And I looked up and it was, you know, kind of following, like, no, none of the dive bombing and stuff, but clearly like its nest was in there or something. So I don't think it was diseased, but it clearly was irritated at best.
It has a personal problem with you in particular, evidently. Yeah.
Well, maybe there aren't too many other runners that go by. I don't know. All right, so we're running long. Do you want to hit some Twitter questions, or you want to?
Yeah, why not? I'm feeling generous. Let the people have their questions.
Before we get into the Twitter questions, we are taking our own All-Star break, if you will, next week. Yeah. Download one of the ones from spring training, because that's when we were still happy and things look good.
You can hear how ridiculous we are.
Yeah, don't do the predictions one, because that probably didn't go very well. All right, here we go. This one is from David Bratz, B-R-A-A-T-Z. We'll go with Bratz.
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 Like the little dolls with the big heads, the Bratz dolls?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the question. Verlander is traded to the Cubs. JD is traded to Seattle. Wilson goes to Washington and Alex to Milwaukee. Kinsler to the Dodgers. Jeez. Who do I root for in the NLCS?
Brewers.
Verlander's team. Brewers because they gave us Brinson. That seems fair.
Yeah.
At Evan Ken 95 asks us, being trade season, how can I be sure that I'm following the correct Ken Rosenthal on Twitter? Always a good thing to take into consideration. Yeah.
So remember, friends, the larger the blue check mark, the more authentic the Ken Rosenthal. Tiny blue check mark? Not very authentic. So
see, based on how his size, you'd think the smaller the check mark, the more likely it is to be him. It's very confusing.
Dude. Yeah.
You see which Ken Rosenthal account is tweeting things that say us getting good prospects, and you follow that one.
Yeah. Just go with the one that your heart wants.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let your heart be your guide.
John Fine asks us, can we get the power rankings on your moms? I asked him, is this our moms, like, that birthed us, or just moms in general? He said either. So I'll let you take a quick stab at that. Which mom is better, yours or mine?
Yeah. I don't think I want to talk about my mom on the podcast. My mom's number one. Love you, Mom.
Your mom's the only one that has made a drop for us. So,
yeah. So that's number one. That's it. That's all we got.
My buddy Sean Hachi Fagan asked us, which Tiger player, if inserted into the Derby, would do the best, and how far could they go?
Ooh, that's a pretty good question. I would say Upton.
Oh, that was going to be my low key pick. I thought I was going to get you. Yeah.
Ah. Because you'd think JD maybe right away.
Yeah.
Nick would do good.
Yeah, just.
Why are we not seeing Cabrera, the guy who's won a triple crown?
I don't think of him when I think of pure home run hitters. Like, he obviously hits a crap ton, but he hits them the opposite way.
He seems kind of frail lately.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Isn't that bad to say?
It's a little sad. Yeah. In almost the same way as Victor does. Like,
yeah.
Happy Avila, which is also at Tigers_opinions. Who would be your un-all-star on the Tigers? Which obviously is worst. Worst player.
I have two names. Matt Dendecker from having such a short life. The Matt Dendecker era was in and out before we could really fully enjoy it.
Really sink our teeth into it, yeah.
But the number one Tigers unstar is William Cuevas. Mm. Remember this guy?
Yes.
He's got like 108 ERA or something like that. Poor Cuevas.
Yeah. Poor Willie.
Yeah. Poor Everybody was like, oh yeah, Cuevas, he's been so good. We got to see him.
I was impressed with him when I saw him pitch in the spring. I clearly know nothing. Just the usual. Stop.
William, you're listening. Sorry.
Dale. Jeremy Troy asks us, are you guys excited as I am to relive the 2003 Tigers baseball once the Loria-style fire sale is completed?
All right. Anthony's my favorite Troy again. I don't want to hear that, Jeremy.
Yeah.
You're the bottom Troy again.
That's all the questions. Thank you to everybody who tweeted us in. If you have a question for us, not next week, but the week after, tweet it in. There's a very small chance that I will remember it between now and then. So that's pretty much it for us until the middle of – well, I guess technically it's already the middle of July. Yeah, but
I'm 2 weeks off. Sorry, friends.
Yeah, it'll be okay. We'll probably get through this. And hopefully when we come back, we'll have some shiny new prospects to talk about. That would be fun.
Huh. I love you, Tigers. Be good.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinio4. Eric is at ComericEric. Have you posted anything other than the picture of Johnny Cane?
And my hot dog with lots of ketchup on it.
It's disgusting. It's really funny ketchup. That you're the one with the Johnny Cane pic on your feed, and I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so tweet him when he changes his hairstyle.
Trying to help the cause, Hall.
Facebook.com/podcastianos. And we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. Speaking of, before we get out, I always ask if you have anything else to talk about before we get out. Realistically, taking a look at the Tiger season, is Johnny Cane the MVP of the first half of the season from a fan's perspective?
No, Hall, stop. No, let the poor man. He's getting a personal protection order.
Who has been more entertaining in the Tigers experience?
Fulmer.
Okay, that's one. That's one baseball player.
I don't. Upton? Upton? JD? Shane Green? I don't know.
He's at worst fifth on the MVP voting for Tigers personality first half of the season.
Fine, all you win.
Thanks. Do you have anything else to say to the people before we get out for a week or two here?
Dale.
With that being said, we will catch you guys in a couple weeks. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.